Good evening and welcome to 30 Letters in 30 Days. Remember, if you want the PDF to print out and follow along with, go to 30letters30days.com. That's 30 for 30 and letters, like letters, L-E-T-T-E-R-S, 30 again for 30, days, D-A-Y-S.com. And there you'll find all the archives of all the previous classes, as well as some other resources such as the weekly Shabbos table companion discussion sheets. And also coming up soon, there's going to be an initiative. I just heard today about a new initiative to promote the study of 11 letters in 11 days, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, which Rosh Chodesh is coming up day after tomorrow. This is going to be a program that's going to be promoted in many of the girls' schools around the world. So keep an ear out for more news about that. All right. Tonight's letter. Let's jump right in. Baruch Hashem, Chof Adar Sheni, Tavshin Yutes, Brooklyn. Rav HaChosid, Ish Yirei Alekim, Nichbed V'Naila, Oisik B'Tzorchi Tzibur, Mereinu Rav, Reb Yechiel, Michal, Sheyichya. Who is Reb Yechiel Michal, who the Rebbe refers to with these very grand titles? This is a rabbi who, as you're going to be able to deduce very quickly in the letter, at the time of the letter writing, is in Romania. This is Yechiel Michal Dobruskin, and he was born in Nikolaev. You may have heard of Nikolaev. That's actually where the Rebbe was born as well. The period that this letter is written in, he was a Rav in Haifa in Eretz Yisrael. But at this juncture, he's in Romania. Now, Romania is an interesting place. There's a long history of Jews in Romania. But let's just talk about modern history. By somewhat of a, I mean, everything is hashgacha pratis, but from a historical perspective, it was somewhat of an anomaly that so many Jews survived the Holocaust in Romania. Romania was allied with the Nazis, and percentage wise, Romanian Jewry avoided extermination at rates. It sounds morbid to describe it this way, but at rates that were like better than, let's say, in Poland, where the decimation was far, far worse. I mean, I feel uncomfortable speaking in comparative terms about such unfathomable tragedy. But the point is that after the Holocaust, there was a disproportionately large community that remained in Romania. In fact, there were 250,000 Jews still living in Romania by the end of the Holocaust. Now, what happened is they became communist and allied with the Soviets, in some ways a Soviet puppet, but an independent state. So they didn't have the same severity as the Soviet Union itself, and there was a little bit more freedom of movement. So the 250,000 surviving Jews after the war did leave Romania. The majority of them did leave Romania until by the 80s, I believe, there's already, I think, 50 or 60,000 Jews in Romania. the chief rabbi of Romania, who was known as Rabbi Moses Rosen, David Meshe Rosen, he had yechidus with the Rebbe many times. In fact, he had an open door policy, so to speak, by the Rebbe to any time that he wanted to speak to the Rebbe, he had access. And the Rebbe was very supportive of him and his work in trying to keep Yiddishkeit alive in a place that had been so doubly affected by both the Holocaust as well as by communism. At any rate, Rabbi Dobruskin, who this letter is to, was in Romania at the time of this letter. He was in a town called Braila, Romania, which now I don't know if there are any Jews there at this point. But at some point, it was a large Jewish community with multiple schools and synagogues. And that's where Rabbi Yechiel Michal Dobruskin is at the time of writing this letter. Shalom Avracha, greetings and blessings. B'mayne l'michtove mites zayin Adar Sheni, in answer to your letter from the 16th of Adar, the second Adar, by case of Oides Matzev Ruchai v'chulo, in which you write about your mood, etc. Okay. I feel like I should fill something in here about his mood. The Rebbe writes v'chulo, which means etc. I don't know if Rabbi Dobruskin wrote this in his letter to the Rebbe or not. I'm going to state, however, a fact. And this is something, actually, that if you learn 30 letters in 30 days with us last year, so we did a letter last year, which the Rebbe wrote to the community of Kfar Chabad in 1955, following a tragedy which befell the community, where a bacher, a very talented and very fine bacher, who was a mashpia, he was a teacher to other bacherim, and he was murdered by a terrorist. And we read the letter that the Rebbe wrote to the community of Kfar Chabad to comfort them after that tragedy. I will Bli Neder get you the link for that letter that we learned last year, and I'll put it in the description so you can watch it. I'm referring to YouTube. If you're watching on other platforms, you could search it up. The name of the class was In Response to a Tragedy. It was a Thursday night, so it was a doubleheader. How to Receive the Rebbe's Blessings and In Response to a Tragedy. Okay, so the name of that bacher who was murdered, excuse me, was Yisrael Dobruskin. He was the son of this Rebbe Yechiel Michal. So that's just a fact. Now, from what I've heard, people commented that after the tragedy, the father was never the same, as one could well imagine. I don't know if that's what the Rebbe is referring to when he says your mood, etc. I don't know if that's what Rabbi Dobruskin wrote in his letter to the Rebbe, but it is something that we know was an issue, and something that affected him and his emotional well-being for the rest of his life. So the Rebbe says, in your letter, you write about your mood. Shalochein ein biyocholte lases ma behanegela ele Romania. And therefore, you're not able to do anything about the Romanian immigrants. What is this talking about? So Rabbi Dobroskin is essentially saying, because of his personal situation, which he describes as his matzav ruach, he's not able to help these Romanian Jews who are trying to emigrate to Eretz Yisrael. Now, he has other issues as well, in addition to his emotional issues. But he's writing to the Rebbe and essentially explaining why he's not going to be able to perform these duties. Now, when is this so? If you look at this as a burden and hard labor, you know, the old mashal, the old parable that all the rabbis at some point use when they're giving a sermon. I feel like a hack even to bring it up, but the well-known parable of the diamonds and the rocks, right? Sorry. A guy is walking up a hill, or maybe he's walking down the hill, and he sees another guy walking up the hill, and he's carrying a big, heavy bag of rocks on his back, and he's frowning. He says, "Why are you frowning?" "Oh, because I'm carrying heavy rocks." And he's passing another guy. He's also trudging up the hill with the same heavy load on his back. But he's smiling. Why are you smiling? "Ah, because they're diamonds." Yeah, it's an old parable. The point is that Rebbe tells this Rabbi Yechiel Michal, you're saying that because of your mood, your emotional state, you're not really able to take on extra responsibilities. So the Rebbe says something that's rather logical. I mean, it makes sense if you think about it. Why am I making such a comment? Because the Rebbe could just say something is true for spiritual reasons and doesn't have to make sense. But this happens to make a lot of sense. Something is only going to give you additional, it's only going to add additional weight if you interact with it as a burden. In other words, who's to say that working with the Romanian immigrants isn't relief from your problems? Who's to say it's not therapeutic and healing, and it's actually the best way to deal with your problems? You're saying, "I'm already so overburdened. How can I bring on more?" Well, that's because you're looking at it as something that's a burden. But if you would reframe it, then not only it doesn't have to be a burden, you could actually look at it as something that's helping you. So simple, but so powerful. Okay. Masha'en kein kishayira ha'inyan lamitose. In contrast, if you see the matter as it truly is, and I love this word, la'amitose, if you see it according to its emes, according to its truth, meaning to say, it's not just a matter of glass half empty, glass half full, right? Because which one is it? Well, it's subjective. It depends how you look at it. But the Rebbe is saying, no, there is an objective answer here. There is a right answer. It's not just, well, you could view it as a burden or you could view it as something positive. No, it's much more than that. There's actually a right and a wrong way of looking at it. So, in fact, there's a true, and therefore, by inference, you could conclude, a false way of looking at it. Viewing it as a burden is the false way of looking at it. But if you see things as they truly are, shezehu inyan misameach, this is actually something that will make you happy. This is a happy thing. You're able to help improve the lives of many Jews. And that furthermore, regarding this, it says, it's not upon you to finish the job. Right? This is from Pirkei Avos, that you don't have to finish the job, but you're not allowed, on the other hand, to say that you're free from even starting. A lot of powerful stuff right here. So first of all, the Rebbe says, this burden that you feel is, here, I'm going to use a word that I learned recently, and I like it, so I'm going to use it. I learned a word, allostasis. So allostasis is basically your system and its ability to deal with stress. And there's a concept of allostatic load. So depending on what you got going on in your life, the challenges that you're dealing with, your allostatic load may be heavier. And you get to a certain point where the allostatic load is too heavy and you can't function properly. And that's when things start to break down. So we know some of the details of Rabbi Dobruskin's life. And there are many things we don't know about his life, but we know one thing, that he lives in this world in the period of exile. And if there's anything I know from living 48 years in this world in the period of exile, it's that everyone's got problems. Life is fraught with problems. So I don't know how taxed out his allostatic load is, but he's writing to the Rebbe describing his matzav ruach as being pretty serious and not allowing him to do his communal work. So I'd assume that his allostatic load is pretty heavy right now. So the first thing the Rebbe writes back and says, hold on, why are you assuming that this important work is just another burden that's maxing out your already very taxed capacities? Maybe this is the opposite. And if you would see the truth that you're helping Jews, you would see that this is actually a wonderfully happy thing. And maybe this could actually take away some of your allostatic load. Okay, so that's first of all. Second of all, what's with this perfectionism? Why are you creating more stress? Why are you thinking of it like something you have to finish? You don't have to finish. You're just not allowed to walk away from it. So, lo yalecha hamalacha ligmar, you don't have to finish the job. Yeah, of course you're stressed if you think you have to finish it. You don't have to finish it. You're just not allowed to walk away from it. So, without letting him off the hook, the Rebbe explains why this shouldn't really stress him. You understand, this is very important, because the Rebbe could tell the guy, I know it's stressing you, and I know you think you're going to die from the stress, and that's the price we have to pay. I mean, the Rebbe could have said that. He could have said, yeah, I know you don't have any room for this in your mind and in your heart, but it's too important to walk away from, so I'm sorry, it's going to bury you, but that's what has to happen. By the way, I would say that's the attitude of Chassidus very much in the previous generation before the Rebbe's leadership, where it was really about that type of Mesiras Nefesh, where you're going to do the right thing and you're going to get killed for it. And that's what a Chassid has to do, right? I think the Rebbe worked very hard to change that attitude, to create a new understanding of Mesiras Nefesh. That in the Rebbe's world, you don't suffer for doing the right thing. You gain from doing the right thing. So it's not like Yeah, I'm sorry. I know you're stressed already. You got a lot of emotional problems already, but you're going to have to keep doing this stuff because it's important. And, you know, if it kills you, it kills you, and we'll find a replacement. That's not what the Rebbe is saying. The Rebbe is saying, I know you're stressed. I know you got a lot going on in your life. This work that you're doing, if you look at it in the truthful way and you understand what it is, and you stop being a perfectionist and you realize you don't have to finish the whole thing, not only will this work stop stressing you, I think you'll actually find that this work brings you some comfort and some relief. So then, whatever says Oz, then if you shift your way of looking at it, Bekal yochol ases bezeh, it'll be easy to do this work, kefi yocholtai, according to your ability. Again, we're not asking you to do more than your ability. Ube'efen dela'at la'at, just do a little bit, gradual, slow and steady. Nobody's rushing you here. You got time. Just don't stop moving. You don't have to rush. Just don't stop. I think that's in general the Rebbe's advice. Nobody's pushing you. No one is rushing you. Just keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Line by line, it'll work out fine, right? Valicha medarga ledarga, and you're gonna go from one level to the next. Oh, the Rebbe's pushing us again. The Rebbe's not pushing. The Rebbe's telling you the truth. Just keep moving, and you will go from level to level. Minakal elapochas kal. You're going to go from the easy to the less easy. I love that. Not from the easy to the difficult. Trigger word. Difficult's a trigger word. You're going to go from the easy to the less easy, right? Incrementally. Nobody's pushing you. Just keep moving and you will be able to do more and more. And it'll be in a way where you won't exhaust yourself. Again, the Rebbe's not saying, yeah, I know this is going to exhaust you. Do it anyway. The Rebbe's saying, pace yourself and it's not going to exhaust you. I'm not asking you to burn yourself out. Ladies and gentlemen, contrary to what you may have been told, I'm speaking to the Lubavitchers now. The Lubavitcher Rebbe never asked anybody to turn in a report that they've reached burnout and that should be your Hasidisha street cred. I got burnt out doing the Rebbe's Inyanim. To the contrary, the Rebbe's saying, I don't want you to have burnout. Just take it. You don't have to rush. You don't even have to finish the job. You just can't stop. Okay, so move slowly and gently and don't stop. And automatically, you're going to do more and more and more. Okay, and it's not going to make your life worse. It's going to make your life better. Okay. Now that I was getting into physical health, we were talking about mood until now. Certainly the doctor who treats you, not only will he agree to this, he will encourage you, he'll strengthen you to follow my advice, in other words. And this work that we're talking about is also going to bring you literal physical health. Not just that it might be a relief for you emotionally. It's going to actually improve your physical health. And that's in addition to following whatever other instructions the doctor told you to do. It's interesting that yesterday was telling somebody what they had foot pain, that they should give tzedakah and have more amunah, and that will deal with the foot pain. The Rebbe doesn't mention any natural means of healing. Which, again, as I mentioned last night, maybe the guy already had that area covered and mentioned it in his letter to the Rebbe. But here, the Rebbe says both. The Rebbe says, in fact, I shouldn't even say both, because last night it was a purely spiritual thing where you have to really invoke the metaphysical to believe that there's a cause and effect connection between the Rebbe's advice and the effect that the Rebbe was telling the person it would have. Over here, actually, it doesn't even take so much faith to understand it. There's more of like an emotional piece of advice and then like a physical piece of advice. The emotional piece of the advice was, if you have the proper outlook on this work, you're going to actually see that it's a happy thing and it's going to probably help your mood. Then the more physical part of it is, and by the way, ask your doctor. I think he's going to tell you that doing this work is actually good for your physical health. It's like the story about when Telushkin's father, the accountant, Telushkin tells this story. This father, the accountant, was in the hospital. He had a massive heart attack. He's in the hospital, and the Rebbe sent him a bunch of books to, he was an accountant, so he sent him books. You don't get, let the guy rest. The guy's in the hospital, convalescing. Like, why are you sending him work in the hospital? But after he came out, he said, the Lubavitcher Rebbe saved my life. I was giving up on life. I said, yeah, this is it. I guess I had a good run, ready to check out. And all of a sudden, the Rebbe sent me work to do. I said, oh, I'm still needed in this world. So, and it was literally, it was healing for him in a physical way. So the Rebbe says, talk to your doctor and continue doing any other things the doctor told you to do. Obviously, do those things as well. But I think doing this work, the doctor himself is going to back me up and say, this is good for your health. Okay. V'kevin shenimtzayim anu b'chedesh Adar demarim b'simcha. Since we're still in the month of Adar, where the whole month is increasing in joy, u'mismach geula l'geula m'chedesh Adar l'nissen. And also, there's an idea of juxtaposing one redemption to another redemption. The redemption of Purim, which takes place in the month of Adar, and the redemption of the Exodus from Egypt, which takes place in the month of Nisan. Geula mikol dvarim hama'akvim avedas Hashem besimcha betuv levav. So the redemption that Rebbe is telling Rabbi Yechiel Michal that he should have is a redemption from all things that prevent you from serving Hashem with joy and gladness of heart. So you should report back good news about all of the above. With blessings for good news, that you should report good news in all of the above. All right, that's our letter tonight, and we'll see you tomorrow.